We like joy. We like joy. And we've learned that joy and happiness are different. Happiness depends on our circumstances, and joy is in our heart. Joy comes from the Lord, and we can be joyful even when circumstances are not nice. We can have that joy, that contentment that only comes from the Lord. And there are a lot of people that don't understand the difference. They equate joy and happiness together. And if I'm not happy, then I'm not going to be, I can't be joyful. I can't, you know, I can't smile. I can't, you know, I can't seek any fulfillment in anything because of my circumstances. I'm just going to wallow in my circumstances and stay there, and I'm not going to find any reason why I should be grateful and content and at peace, because they put happiness and joy together and they rely on their circumstances. And as a Christian, that's very sad if you live your life that way, or you see people that live their life that way, that they truly don't understand what the Lord's given them, and that He is guiding them through their circumstances. He is with them in their circumstances. He knows what's going on in their life. And so therefore, He is a source of comfort when you feel that your world's crashing in on you, or things just aren't going, you know. And sometimes we have to look inward, and sometimes it's our doing that is causing these circumstances in our lives. So that's what kind of what this chapter has been talking about, how to have that trust, that obedience, staying close to the Lord, allowing Him to work in our lives. And just, we've learned that love is the branch, and all the other attributes of the fruit of the Spirit come off of love. So that's our, like, anchor, is the love that Christ showed for us. And it all just comes from that. And as we go along and learn about all the other ones, we'll see how important that love is, and how each of these just play on the other ones. We stopped at verse 11. We finished that. We were talking about what, like, circumstances and people in our lives make it difficult for us to experience the joy of the Lord. And I had to be honest and say, for the most part, it's me. I'm the one person that causes that to happen in my life. Instead of saying, well, you're always the one that, you know, makes me feel bad, or you're, but it's me. It's my walk with the Lord. It's my attitude. It's my take on how whatever's going on in my life and how I react to it. It's my doing. I'm the one that causes me to not have the joy that I should, because of, I allow circumstances, or I allow my reaction to things to put a damper on stuff. So we have two verses, or several verses here, that in chapter 12, or chapter 12, in verse 12, it's still not a verse. I'm reading the word verse here. It's like question 12. It says read these verses. I'm like, oh, goodness, I can't even think today. Okay, so first one is Nehemiah chapter 8. And Nehemiah is after Chronicles and Ezra in the Old Testament. What, chapter 8? Yeah, Ezra, Nehemiah. Okay, so chapter 8, verse 10. At first I started reading this verse and I'm like, okay, why does this go along with what we've been talking about? But it's at the bottom. It's like, oh yay. So he said, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we sing that song, we've heard it preached, but do we take hold of it? Do we grasp the whole meaning of that? The joy of the Lord is our strength. We can have strength in, we should have a strength within us because of who we are, what we've been forgiven from, who the Lord is. All of that should help us to be not always happy. I'm not talking about happiness. It's a contentment. It's a calm that's in our, we won't always be in a happy place, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. I know I can rely on Him. He's not going to let me down. He's not going to walk away from me. He's always going to be there for me. And that is a great source of comfort when you're going through things that are difficult. Or even when you're just in your day-to-day, you know, that monotonous thing that we go through. You know, it's like you get up, you go to sleep, you go to work, and it's just like you do the same thing every day, day after day. And it's like there's nothing like new or, you know, there's, it doesn't, well, and it doesn't even seem like we're having any kind of curveballs thrown at us, or we're not having any like obstacles happening. And so it's like this mundane thing takes over us. And we forget how wonderfully blessed we are. We forget how much the Lord means to us. We kind of get in a rut with Him too. You get up, you read your Bible, you go, you know, and, but what are we getting from it? What are we deriving from it? Did something in you that you read this morning stick with you? And did you think about it through the day? Did you do something out of the ordinary just because you love the Lord? Did you smile at someone else? Did you wave at somebody when you were driving by in a car? Something, just throw yourself a curveball every now and then. Do something that you wouldn't do. Say something to someone that you see at work or you pass by every day, but you've never said hi to, or you've never, oh, have a nice day. You know, just do something different. See what happens. See if the Lord, you know, gives you an opportunity. Like they had when we were out on visitation yesterday. You know, it's like, I talked to a lady, she was outside too, but I didn't have an opportunity to witness to her because she flat out told me that she loves the Lord, and she told me where she went to church, and then she was like, but then she offered me something. She offered me some water, and I graciously said I didn't, you know, I could have used some, but I was like, that's fine. I have some in the car. We're almost done, but you know, thank you for, you know, offering. And she's like, I'm going to give this to somebody. I think I know somebody that could use this. And so she was going to pass the track on to someone else. And I was like, well, thank you very much for, you know, not just pitching it on the trash, you know. So little blessings. And, you know, it's like you see people, and, you know, I love that when we went out a couple weeks ago, we were over there on Golf Links, and no, we were on Kolb. Yeah, and we got done with our flyers and waiting for the guys to go get the cars and come back, and there's a whole bunch of us ladies standing on the corner waiting for, and we just started waving at people. It was like 4th of July, right around 4th of July, and we're just waving at the cars as they're going by, and people are driving going, you know, like, what are they doing? You know, and we were just smiling and waving. We got people honking at us. People were waving. This tow truck's flashing its lights at us. It was uplifting. It was encouraging. It made us all feel good. And sometimes you just need to do something different and change things up. So, but remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Way in the back of the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. No, not Chronicles, Corinthians. Who's in the back? 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I read this one over and over again. It's like, what does this have to do with joy? But Paul is saying that even though there are all these things going on in my life that could bring me down, he's thankful in a sense for them, because in those situations he is made strong because of the Lord, because of what the Lord gives him. His strength comes from the Lord. So, and then it goes on and he's talking about being content, and up further in Corinthians he's always talking about, you know, whatsoever state I am in, therefore I, you know, will be content. Just, it's a sense of peace. It's a sense of, I know that while I'm going through this, I'm not alone. I can go through this. I can face this circumstance because the Lord's there with me. And that derives a sense of joy, because I've heard people say, you know, why do you always still seem to be so happy when, you know, things seem to be falling apart? Well, that's a perfect opportunity for you to tell someone it's not me. It's not anything that I'm doing. That I want to, you know, cry and beat my head against the wall. You know, it's like this comes from the Lord, because I know he's there with me. He's not going to leave me alone. He's not going to let me go through these circumstances by myself. And it's up to me, though, to stay close to him, because we tend to tuck tail and run, and we're running the wrong direction. We're not running into his arms, we're running away from him. And so that's something we need to be mindful of. It's like when you face these things that we seem to be insurmountable, or these bigger mountains that you don't feel like you can climb, well, stay close to the Lord and he'll carry you up the mountain. You know, it's like he'll move these things out of our ways. He'll guide our path, but we have to stay close to him. And if I've gotten nothing else out of the book so far, is that I have to stay close to the Lord. I have to keep my fellowship close with the Lord, because then I can do the things in here that he wants me to do. I can do the things in here that I'm commanded to do, or that I choose to do. I mean, there's a lot of things in here that it's not a commandment. It's a choice. We have choices. We make a choice every day. Are we going to follow the Lord? Are we going to read our Bible? Are we going to praise him? Are we going to witness for him? These are all choices that he gives us to make. It's how well are we, you know, doing in our choices. And, you know, some days not so good. Some days, you know, you don't feel like it, or you get up and, you know, you've made yourself late, or you've made yourself, you know, behind. You know, I wanted to sleep 5 more minutes or 10 more minutes, or I don't want to get up when the alarm goes off, because you know, if you get up at a certain time, you have plenty of time to spend reading your word before you have to leave the house. Well, if I choose to take that half an hour or whatever it is, and stay in bed and don't get up when my alarm goes off, then that's a choice I've made that throws me behind, and I get the token little, you know, when I wolf down some breakfast, I get the token little, okay, I read, you know, my devotion, but I didn't read my Bible. You know, it all comes down to a matter of choice. We even choose to have joy and give out love, and that's all a matter of choice. We can be joyful Christians, or we can choose not to be. It's all up to us. His joy and his strength is there. But what we do, he's not going to force himself. He's not going to make us joyful. He's not going to make us love other people and give out his love. But it's there for us to be able to do that. And his strength is there for us to cling on to and to show others. And so that's like one of the main things I've got out of this. Now, down here in question 13. What are robbers of joy? What's a robber of joy? Give me something.
Because I love, you know, thinking about this and going through this. Last week when I got my my MRI report, you know, and I was talking to people, my family and stuff, and everybody gives you rah, rah, you know, rah,
you can do
rah,
it, yeah.
You can do it, you're strong, yeah. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at him. Right now, that's not what I want to hear. That's not what I want to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And even I felt myself sitting there and I didn't know how I felt.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
There was just this whole thing of, okay, there's this cancer and now it's in my back. And I can't get a good grasp or understanding of what's going on and why we're not going to treat it.
And why we're just watching.
And trying to understand where they're coming from. And so I found myself just being like, ugh. So finally I had to move myself back and I had to do my Bible study and do my reading. Think about some of the things you and I talk about and stuff. You know, that I have a choice right now. I have a choice and I have a decision to make.
Exactly.
I can sit here and be miserable and whiny.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could go back and look at the verses in the Bible that I know make me peaceful.
Yes.
And you think about your strength comes from the Lord. Your peace comes from the Lord. And once I could get myself back to remembering that none of this has to do with me.
Right.
None of it has to do with me. It's all going to come from the Lord. And by yesterday, I started to get back to the place I was before. Where wasn't about me.
Right.
It was just about believing and serving the Lord. I think it was last Sunday you said something about,
oh, that's
gonna remember it.
The joy is the smile of the soul and peace is the serenity of the soul.
And I finally got back to that just by putting myself aside and going back to my Bible and reading and studying and
right.
And I talked to Pastor a couple of times and it was like, okay, you can choose to be miserable.
You can.
You really can choose to be miserable.
And it's like a slide.
And then everything, you know?
Yeah.
And some days it's much easier to, okay, I'm just going to wallow in this for a little while because I can.
Your toenail,
I know.
Your toenail hurts, you know?
Right.
Everything is pain. But then I can also just remember, all of you all were praying for me and my family and my kids, and I know that they mean well when they go rah, rah, rah. You know, but sometimes
It's hard.
Uh-huh.
Some of that rah-rah-rah is for them, too.
Right. Yeah. They're trying to
convince themselves
it's okay. And you don't want to be Debbie Downer, though.
Right.
You don't want to.
Lift that up. Because that, I had it in, and then I moved it this morning, and it fell out again. It's the leg on the bottom of, it's that one leg on the bottom. It won't go in, and yeah, so you got to pick it up and set it, but it's still wobbly.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's.
You know, when you talk about the joy of the Lord is our strength, I know that the Bible says that there's joy in heaven when one sinner repents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about God has joy in me because I have chosen to repent and
right.
accept him. And then, you know, one of the robbers is circumstances. But when things go wrong and nothing's going right, and you're wondering how you're going to put food on the table or pay the bills or how you're going to take one more step on feet that hurt so bad.
Right.
And God gives you the strength. And whether anybody else looks at it that way, I see that in amongst all of this, he still loves me.
Exactly.
And that's where joy is.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter what anything else happens.
Mm-hmm.
God loves me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Enough to die for me. And it's like, I need, and sometimes I need to cling to that and only that, because that's the only thing that's going to get me through, and I just have to just.
Mm-hmm. And when circumstances rob you of things, but like this was just a really bad week, and my boss was sitting there, and I said, you know what? It's going to be okay, because
mm-hmm.
I know God's going to take care of me no matter what. And all of a sudden, her whole demeanor changed, and she was like, yeah, God's never not going to put food on my table.
Mm-hmm. Right, he said he's not going to let his.
And
let
that's
his
joy.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're happy and rah-rah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's joy in knowing that God is going to take care of me because
exactly.
he loves me. And there's joy in that.
That's
and strength.
But it's so, it's so exhilarating
yeah.
in a sense. It's so meaningful that what Christ did and how much he loved us
mm-hmm.
and what he went through and how much he sacrificed. He didn't have to do that, but he chose to do it because he loves us. And it had nothing to do with his circumstances or anything. It was purely out of his love for us that he died on the cross. And it's just, sometimes that's just so overwhelming, I can't hardly get a hold of it. And sometimes it's hard to even share it with somebody else. Until you experience it, it's just hard to wrap your head around. And because nobody's loved me that much. Nobody's ever shown that much love. You know, it's just amazing. All I put down for robbers of joy, doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Doubt, I experienced this one for a long time until I finally got things settled. I've probably been saved 10, 12 years, something like that. And I had, doubt would surface all the time because it was just, I kept examining how I got saved to how other people were getting saved. And I didn't have this big kind of momentous thing that happened to me. And I'm like,
a choir singing and angels.
Yeah.
Singing.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, you know, and you know, did I, you know, I didn't have this big tearful, and I'm like, oh, did I get sick? And he would just flood me with doubt all the time. And it was just like, no, wait, I know what I did, and I know, and I can prove it from the,
mm-hmm.
It's like his love is what saved me, not my fear of going to hell as other people have gotten saved. That wasn't what it was his love for me that hurt my heart so badly that he would love me and do that for me. And that's what brought me to repentance. And but it was so different from what I was hearing other people say, and it was just like, but I didn't have, you know, and I would go back and forth, and finally I got it all settled, and it was just like, but that would rob me of my joy at times where it's like, well, can I, you know, can I rely on the Lord? Am I really saved? You know, it's like, I understand, and it's like, and I would go through all these little checklists, like, I understand when I read the Bible, you know, and it's like, I can explain to someone else, and I'm going through all these little things in my head, well, I did that, but then why am I still feeling like, did I do it right? Did I get saved? Did it? Yeah, so that was, yes, ma'am.
Sometimes when I by myself reading the devotion, I say, I really, God really changed me since I got saved, and He gave me that, not only me and every one of us, God gave us the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Right.
And before, I don't know nothing about the Bible. I don't know how to read, and I don't know how to read the Bible.
Yeah.
I need to click which one I had to go, especially when Pastor Lisa is preaching and is really fast. And I said, Lord, I don't know where I have to go. And the Bible just speak like this. I said, what?
Oh, and I'm there. There's, and so said, God just showed you,
yeah,
where it was.
And the night, I said, this is, I never had this before, the experience. And I wake up six times a night, and I look at the Bible. It just look like it's flipping.
Oh, wow.
For me to read that, and while I'm reading, all my tears and crying, and I said, I never had this before.
Right.
You know? I said, God, thank you for saving me, and thank you for loving me.
Exactly.
And I said, thank you for to give me the loving kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And I work 12 hours a day, and you know, I'm jumping and dancing around with myself and singing, and people said, what's wrong with you?
Exactly.
You work whole 6 days, and you still have a joyful in your heart and singing and jumping, you know, and dancing around in the. And I said, because God, He gave me the joy.
Because it doesn't come from me.
I know it doesn't come from me. God saved me.
Exactly.
And He gave me the joy and love. And one of my coworkers said to me, I don't know, and how much I have made money, I still don't satisfy for what I have. I said,
exactly, contentment.
I said to her, what God said in the Bible, we supposed to be satisfied for what we have. And one of the ladies said to me, you're a liar.
No.
And I said, no, you calling God liar?
Exactly.
Said, that's not me that's saying that. What God says in the Bible.
Yep.
I said, we're supposed to be satisfied for what we have.
Exactly. For whatever state I am in, therefore, with
for what we have
to be content.
That He gave us, because He's the only one that supply and all our needs.
Exactly.
According to the Philippians 4:19.
Right.
And they're kind of... look weird to me. They look at me like I'm weird because I was quoting the verse.
Right.
And he said, I never heard that people quoting the verse. I said, Philippians 4:19, but God has supplied all our
needs according to His riches.
Riches and glory by Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
I said to them, he said, really? I said, well, you think that all everything in here in the earth? God, He supplied that for us.
Exactly. God's in control of everything.
Yeah, He
knows what we
yeah.
what we need, what we have to have.
I know sometimes, you know, the John 14:6, I put it to him because he said, why you so in the Bible? I said, because God said in the Bible that we can only find the truth in the Bible.
Exactly.
And then I gave them the illustration what God said in John 14:6.
Mm-hmm.
And said, and they all quiet. Because, and then I said, okay, time for you to move on.
There we go, time to move on, because everybody's like, ah, all right.
That's what they're telling me, you're preaching to us. I said, well, okay. I'm not the one that's preaching. God is preaching to you guys.
Okay, so on the other side of this, we found out what causes negative. So what are joy givers that are in our life? That
joy
givers? Yeah.
Reading God's Word.
Reading God's Word.
Fellowship with other believers.
Exactly. Christian fellowship.
Miss Katie will kiss you on your
forehead. That's right. Hugs.
With
sharing the Lord with others can bring a sense of joy. It can be frightening, but in the end, it causes you to think of things differently. You've stepped out of yourself. You know, it's like you're not thinking about you and what's going on in your life because you're reaching out to someone else. So even in doing something for someone else, helps you to not think about your circumstances. So do something for someone else that you see is struggling. That's going to not only give them some joy, but it's going to help your joy. It's because you've kind of stepped out of your comfort zone, you're doing something for someone else, it's uplifting at times. Mm-hmm. Right at the beginning, it could be, I've never done this before, or I've never went to someone and said, I see you're struggling, I sense that you're, you know, the Lord's wanted me to talk to you. Sometimes that's difficult to do. You expect it from, you know, it's like we expect it from Carmen and, you know, the pastor's wife and, you know, but we all should do that. We all see people in our church that are hurting, or you hear things that are going on in their lives when they share a testimony. But when was the last time you went up to him and you just said, Lord wants me to give you a hug? So you give them a hug. Or I'm praying for you. The Lord's impressed me on your heart. I'm praying for you. That can go a long way in someone just knowing that you personally are praying for them. You may not know the situation, but you perceive that, or the Lord's impressed upon you. And in that, when he's impressed upon you something, stop and take a couple of minutes and pray for this person. You may not know why they're in your thoughts, but the Lord does. He knows what they need. And so pray for them. And so this lady that wrote the book, she's saying, you know, she knows that she goes through dark days and, you know, but she can have joy in the midst of her trials. Mm-hmm. And there's three things that she said that she tries to keep focus on. Get her eyes off her circumstances and on the Lord. Live one day at a time, because we're commanded by Scripture to today. Take thought for today, not for tomorrow, and especially not what's in the past, because it's in the past. It's, you can't change it now. You can't go back and fix it. It's over with. So if you made a mistake back there, okay, this is today. I'm going to try not to make that mistake again. Learn from the past, but you can't go backwards. And so be in the moment and live your life to the fullest with the Lord's strength and for the Lord, one day at a time. And I love this one, is count your blessings. If you've never done it, try to write down your blessings, and you'll be surprised how all of a sudden you're just like, this one and that one, and oh wow, that's a blessing, and looky here, and this is a blessing. And you just, and after a while, whatever it is that you were thinking about before, You're not thinking about it anymore. You are in a different place. Because you see the Lord's hand on your life and your circumstances, and it's like, this is good. You know, and simple things as, I woke up this morning. You know, it's like, I can breathe, and I'm breathing, and it's like, I can see even with my glasses. You know, it's like I have glasses. I could not have glasses. Then I couldn't read the Bible because it's just all this black right there. Just little lines. That's all there is. I can see. I know that says Corinthians just because I know that's where I was. But yeah, that's about it. So it's like, I'm very thankful for my glasses. You know, I'm thankful for the fact that Benjamin Franklin invented them. You know, it's like you can go even back as far as that. They're not this. You know, they're much better now than the ones that he invented, but, you know, the Lord gave, it had to start somewhere. Is, you know, it's like, there's so many things to be, call a blessing. Thank you, Rachel Rodney. Yeah, that's our 5-minute warning. So, you might as well not, we're going to stop at verse 15, or question 15, and do that on next week. And we should finish this next week. So we have one more week for Psalm 16:11. That's our memory verse. Psalm 16:11. That's the verse for this chapter. And if you haven't said the Galatians verse, that's the big one for the whole book. If you're working on that. I know you are. You
told me. I'm working on the Galatians verse.
You told me you were.
I am.
I'm proud of you. I know you were gone though. That's all right.
What is the Galatians?
Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit.
Galatians?
Yeah, that's the big verse. That's for the whole book. That's the fruit of the Spirit verse. That's the whole big verse.
What verses?
Galatians 5:22-23.
5:22-23.
And then the Psalm 16:11 is for this chapter.
Yes.
So
I'm having a problem with that one.
You are?
Yes.
What kind of problem?
I don't know.
Have you been reading it every day?
Yes.
Oh, good.
At least that. I've been trying.
And even if you can, I give you credit for trying. You know that, Miss Kathy.
Oh, you have?
Yes, ma'am. Even if you haven't, you know, it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11.
Even if it's for part of it, you give me credit?
I give you credit for the effort that you put into it. You are trying, and I know you're trying.
Yes.
So I give you credit for... You could say, I don't want to do it, and I'm not going to. So, there. So, you know.
No, even...